Almighty God, we come into your courts now, anticipating a work of your Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, we've been in your courts praising you, for you are worthy. We've been in your courts honoring you. And now we want to sit and hear what your Spirit has to say. So Lord, let all of us be teachable tonight, from the teacher to the youngest. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the Spirit challenges us and comforts us and equips us through it. Pray all of this in the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen. Proverbs 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Who is Lemuel and who is his mom? You know, I've read this book many times. I've done the, you know, month 31 days and go through the book and really thinking about who is this guy's mom, you know, until I really did the deep dive, never asked that question. How many here have gotten advice from their moms? Okay. Stella, you're not raising your hand? No. So, we can relate here to King Lemuel. Now, who exactly is he? There's a couple options. There are some who say this is Solomon. And this is like a nickname for Solomon, or maybe his mom's pet name for Solomon. And so that would make the mom Bathsheba. There are others who say, you know, this is a non-Jewish king who trusted the one true God, who had a relationship. Maybe his wife or his mom was Jewish. I remember reading something about some battle in the ancient, East, and some Parthian king, and it mentioned that he was married to Jewish royalty. And so, you know, it could happen. Just like they imported wives for kings, the Jewish kings, unfortunately Solomon is the worst example, the daughters would go out to kind of seal these peace treaties and other deals. But we've got here a mom. And it says the utterance or oracle. There's inspiration here. And God is speaking through this king's mom. Just like I pray that the moms out here tonight, God speaks through you. And I pray that, you know, it's not always the case, but hopefully that you had a mom who God used in your life. So let's see what King Lemuel's mom has to say. Verse 2. What, my son? Sounds like a very mom thing right off the bat. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Wonder if she made a vow just like Hannah made in 1 Samuel. Oh, Lord, give me a son, and I'll dedicate him to you, and I'll train him to love you and follow you. Well, there's a vow here. And then her advice, do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. Warning number one, she knew her son. Warning number one, watch out. Don't be obsessed with women. No, she doesn't say don't give your strength to a woman. It's women, plural. Watch out, Lemuel. Many kings have been destroyed because they couldn't stay away from the women. Many business leaders, many military officers, supervisors, pastors, dads have been destroyed by not staying away from the women. Lemuel's mom continues. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, verse 4, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. So now, hey, Lemuel, you've got a responsibility. You've got to stay sober. You've got to be thinking straight because you're making decisions. You're affecting the lives of people. And here are the dangers. If you're not sober, you're going to forget or you're going to pervert. You're not going to be a servant for these people. You're going to be selfish. You're going to be thinking about yourself. She tells them, verse 6, give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. And so, and you might remember the story, Jesus on the cross. They tried to give him some wine to dull his senses. And he refused when he was on the cross. He refused to take it. Now, I'll admit, somebody's got a real bad sinus cold, I'll tell them, hey, take a little NyQuil for your sinus's sake. Because if any of you have had a bad sinus cold, you know you're perishing. And NyQuil is my, I take the NyQuil plunge. That's what we call it at my house when I've got a bad sinus infection or cold. Now, she's got positive things to say. Verse 8, open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. So, Lemuel, this is what you're going to avoid, but let's not just talk about what you're going to avoid. Let's talk about positive things. Here's what you can do. You're in a position of authority. You've got some power. Man, speak for those who can't speak. Use your mouth righteously. We've been going through for a number of months now the book of Proverbs, and we've seen over and over how we use our mouth, the words we say, the way we say it, the tone of our voice has been either challenged and we've been warned about it, or we've been encouraged about the correct use of our mouth. And so it's not a surprise that this is something the Holy Spirit is going to use others, not just Solomon, to communicate. If you're in a position of leadership, that position needs to be used to benefit others, whether it's, management at work, whether it's military officer, whether it's, I'm not sure what your position, Sapphira, is in the band, it's not first tuba or something like that, but I know you kind of, there is a name for it. And so, moms and dads, what would you warn your kids about? What would you encourage your kids to do? Maybe as kids, adult children, children, whatnot. What do you wish your parents had warned you about? I read this, and I think, boy, if this was Bathsheba speaking to Solomon, what a heartbreak, because he blew her off eventually in all these areas. Didn't stay away from the women. He didn't stay away from the alcohol. Pleading the cause of the poor and needy, you know what would happen at the end? He dies and the people come and say, man, your dad's taxes are just killing us. Give us some relief. So, well, it could be Bathsheba, but I feel sad if it was, to think what happened. Now, Lemuel's mom has more counsel to give. And now we get to verse 10. And for some, when they think of Proverbs 31, all they think about is the Proverbs 31 woman. But notice, we've already had 9 verses. We've covered other issues. You know, concern for others. How to use your mouth. You know, avoiding getting intoxicated. Watching out for, you know, don't get involved with a number of women or ladies, number of men, youngsters, number of websites. Now we get to verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. This Proverbs 31 woman, there's going to be many qualities here in this list that we've already covered in the book of Proverbs. And so we're not going to be, you know, exposed for the first time to some of these things regarding work ethic and using the mouth and, you know, wisdom versus foolishness and whatnot. But we've got this condensed list here, and it's an acrostic. So every verse begins with a consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This counsel is coming from Lemuel's mom. In a way, I'm kind of glad to have realized that this is not Solomon talking out of the side of his neck, you know, with all of his 1,000 women. This is some counsel. And when we go through now the rest of chapter 31, I want you to think about application. Because to apply this only to women, only to wives, men were missing out. Think. Men, what counsel would you give your son? Or what counsel would you give your daughter regarding, you know, potential boys, boyfriends, marriage partners? What would you look for a godly spouse, whether you're a man or a woman? Going through this list, application-wise, what challenges you? Everyone here is going to be challenged by something in this list, whether you're married or single, young or old, male or female. And so let's get ready to be challenged. We all get to examine ourselves. I will warn, ladies, if you try to live up to every verse here, you will be discouraged. And so, you know, I'm going to be looking at these things and seeking for application for all of us. So first of all, who can find the virtuous wife? That word virtuous, noble, Hebrew, Ephes Halil. And I just butchered that because I have enough trouble with English, let alone Hebrew. Elsewhere in Proverbs, it's translated excellent wife. But it's also used in 2 Kings 24, for mighty men of valor. And so, you know, we're looking at a mighty woman of valor here. Genesis 47, it's used to speak of competent men. Exodus 18, able men. Remember, we've run into a virtuous woman before. That's how Ruth was described in the book of Ruth. And so, this woman of character, first thing we see is, man, she's extremely valuable. Her worth is far above rubies. Don't take this woman for granted if you're married to her. Verse 11 tells us the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. You know, trust is necessary in a relationship. We as spouses need to be trustworthy. And, you know, it speaks of no lack of gain. You know, the main thing we think of is finances. And yet we have to be trustworthy. We have to trust our wives. Wives have to trust their husbands regarding the finances, how they are used, how the budget is worked up in the family. But there's other areas of trustworthiness too. Time. Do we trust one another and how time is used? Relationships. We've seen a lot about peer pressure in this book. What kind of people do they hang around with? Oh, they're nice to me. Oh yeah, they hang around with, you know, this group at the bar all the time, but you know, when I'm with them, they're sweet. Nah, ladies, that's a red flag. And so you look and you say, is this a trustworthy person in how they use these things? Verse 12 says, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know, we got a consistent person here. And they are sticking to each other, this couple. Till death do they part. All the days of her life, doing good, not evil. She seeks wool and flax, verse 13 tells us, and willingly works with her hands. Now, we're seeing some of the ideals. And so, I'll let you guys know, I'm married to a Proverbs 31 wife. I've never seen her touch flax in her life. I don't want her to touch flax because, man, her homemade biscuits, her bread, barbecued ribs, German chocolate cake. Man, Sandra, touch the flour and the yeast and the baking powder and whatnot all the time. You don't have to worry about flax because you're using your given, God-given talents and skills and spiritual gifts, and they're different from other people. They're different from somebody raised in an agricultural society like this woman. But the key thing here is, you know, many of you have not worked with flax or wool, except, you know, making sure that, you know, ladies, you're telling your husband, don't put that in the dryer. It's made out of wool. But beyond that, the key is she willingly works with her hands. Are you willing? This is for all of us. Are you willing? This person who Lemuel is being told, man, this is what you need to be looking for, is somebody who's willing to work for her family. It's not begrudgingly. Verse 14, she's like a merchant ship, brings her food from afar. She's looking for the best deals. She's got the Raley's app and the other apps on her phone, and she's okay. You know, this is the best place to get this week, and so, you know, she drives past Safeway to get to Raley's because she knows that, hey, I got the barcode on my phone. I'm getting the deal. I'm getting the good thing. You have not had to make that trip yet, have you? So that's why you're laughing. But you know, this woman, she knew where the deals were. Verse 15, she also rises while it is yet night. Now, I was at Hobby Lobby today. I looked. They've got, you know, the Bible verses that you can put on the wall, the plaques and the decorations and whatnot. I did not find this verse on any of those decorations at Hobby Lobby. Yet, you know, it shows that the family's a priority. She provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. How many people here have maidservants? Oh, we all do. They're called KitchenAid and Maytag. Your appliances, that's the equivalent of the maidservants in our culture. And she takes care of her appliances. You know, after she's done, wipes it down, you know, the air fryer, you know, make sure that the stuff gets put in the dishwasher, which is another of the maidservants. And so she's thinking through, hey, I'm not going to ignore, you know, these things. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it, and from her profit she plants a vineyard. Now, not all women or men can invest. In fact, my bride is a Proverbs 31 wife because she considers something and doesn't buy it. And I am blessed by that. Not everybody can do this, you know, having the business skills to be able to do this. Again, we got to recognize with our husbands, with our wives, with our children, with, you know, prospective husbands or wives. What are their strengths and weaknesses? What are they good at? What are their talents and skills? What are their spiritual gifts? 17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She takes care of herself. 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. Again, we see, you know, 16 considers, 18 perceives. I mean, this is somebody who thinks about what they're doing. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. Okay. This, what we've got here, the distaff, the spindle, this is part of, you know, working with her wool. This is weaving. She's weaving cloth to make clothes. What's a 21st century application? Again, I'll go back to the appliances. She knows how to use her tools. You know, those funky kitchen gadgets that, you know, sometimes we look at and it's kind of like, what is this and what's it for? And, you know, but she stretches out her hand to get that funky kitchen gadget that, you know, is needed for baking, you know, X, or to create Y or whatnot. And kind of look at it and I just realize, okay, I'll wash it and then I'm going to leave it in the sink rack because I have no idea where this goes. I've never seen it before, but it gets put away and then it gets pulled out the next time it needs to be used. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes. She reaches out her hands to the needy. Boy, this person is generous. And it was extending the hand shows to me an investment of time making an effort to, you know, be involved in those who are needy, going to the hospital, making the phone call, stopping and talking to somebody on the street and just saying, hey, tell me your story. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. What do we get out of verse 21? I'll tell you what I see. She's not afraid of snow. She's being proactive. She's realizing, hey, the rainy season's coming. I better check, you know, the galoshes. Kids have grown. You know, do I need to buy new rain boots for them? School's starting in a couple of weeks. Kids have been wearing shorts all summer. Looks like he's grown about 3 inches, you know. This Proverbs 31 woman doesn't find out that the pants no longer fit the day that the kid goes to school. She's already figured out, and I guess like verse 14, you know, she's gone and figured out, okay, where's the best place to get jeans and where's the best place to get polos and whatnot. She is proactive, and so she doesn't have to be afraid. Wow, I mean, we're halfway through this list, and this is pretty impressive. And don't be smug, husbands. You know, we've got a high standard, too. You know, we've got a goal that we would think, man, this is difficult to meet unless I've got the Holy Spirit working through me. Because I need to love my wife just like Christ loved the church. And I need to give myself for her. That's what we see in Ephesians. So, man, high standards. So guys, if you're wishing, hey, I want my wife to be a Proverbs 31 wife, or she might be saying, I'm wishing my husband was an Ephesians 5 man. We all got to go to God and say, God, help me. Show me what you would have for me out of this. Well, verse 22, got distracted there for a moment. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Makes tapestries for herself. The tapestries be on the wall of the home, you know, it kind of makes the house nice. I don't think my wife's ever made a tapestry, but and, you know, we got this wall that's got these pictures on it, and then we've got this wall here. And you know, she got this frame, and you know, that had, you know, the grandkids in it, and so, okay, I want to put right there. Can you put a nail there? I want to put this up. And so, you know, I see this taking care of her home. Her clothing, fine linen and purple. This is, you know, she cares about how she looks. This is not, you know, this is not the, you know, fancy dressing or whatever. It's dressing nice. And she's caring about that. So because she is blessing her family and blessing her home, we read in verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. So he's part of the elders. He's there with this group of men. So he's not known as the gate at the gates as, oh no, there's that guy with his family's a mess. No, it's kind of like, man, your family is a blessing. Your family, you know, benefits this community. It's something to look up to. Man, come here, sit with us at the gate. So her seeking to be, you know, a godly wife is blessing the husband, not just in the home, but in the community. Verse 24, you know, she makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies sashes for the merchants. And this is something that was in that culture, you know, something she would do. Our culture, well, again, it comes down to what talents did God give you? Are you using your talents, ladies? Are you using your talents, men? The skills, the tools, especially in the church, your spiritual gifts. Are you using them to benefit? She's using her skills and talents here as a benefit for the family. So, because of what she's done in verses 11 through 24, we read now in 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. We see her now being honored. 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Man, the tongue. Proverbs has so much to say about the tongue. One thing I've done as I've gone through teaching Proverbs this year, every time I see the mouth, the tongue, the words, the lips mentioned, I've highlighted them in blue. And there's a lot of blue in the book of Proverbs. Men, women, how do we use our mouth? This woman, that, you know, King Lemuel's mom is saying, this is what you look for. Look at how they use their mouth. When they open their mouth, what comes out? The Proverbs has talked about gossip. Proverbs has talked about, you know, speaking before you think. You know, are they swearing? On her mouth is the tongue of kindness. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household. So, you know, she knows where her kids are. and does not eat the bread of idleness. So I guess she's not sitting on the couch watching soap operas while eating bonbons. Or he's not walking around watching sports on his phone. Well, again, it cuts both ways. Men, we can't just sit back. We got to learn from this. Man, bread of idleness. Think, King David, you know, if this is Bathsheba talking to, you know, Solomon and giving advice, you know, I'm wondering if she's thinking, yeah, you know, your dad, he was idle, and boy, it just started a mess. Decided to kick back and stay home and not go out and do what he was supposed to do. Kings did at that time. And things just, it messed up the family. And this is not a lazy person. By the way, going back, I spoke positively about, you know, how opening our mouth with wisdom, and on our tongue is the law of kindness. What do you say about your spouse? You should not be insulting your spouse, well, in private, but especially not in public. I have seen husbands, more than wives, but husbands, especially tearing down their spouses in public. We should not be doing that, church. We can't do that. Um, My wife was part of a prayer group years ago, I guess decades ago now. One of the women in that group, her prayer request for her husband was really tearing into her husband. There's one person in that prayer group that is divorced now. It was the woman who used her prayer request to rip her husband. And use your mouth to bless your spouse, to bless others in the church. So 28 tells us, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. You know, the children recognize, man, I had a good mom. Now, they might not do it, you know, this year. It may take them a few years to figure out, man, you know, I was pretty lucky. I was pretty blessed, you know, to have the mom that I did. You know, when I said she was the meanest mom in the whole world when I was 12, man, I got to go back, and now that I'm 24, I need to repent. Her husband also. And he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Her husband is bragging about her. Men, women, do you brag about your spouse? Kids, do you brag about your parents? Instead of tearing them down publicly, man, praise your spouse. You excel them all. So charm is deceitful and beauty is passing or vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Who is in the gates? Her husband. You know, brag on your spouse. Men, brag on your wives. I could see, you know, the husband at the gates, and they're sitting around, and he's, he brought snacks that day and passing them out. And, hey, yeah, this is great stuff. Yeah, my wife made those. And, you look pretty sharp there, Lemuel. Oh, yeah. My wife made these. Hey, we got, you know, the Passover coming up, and I see the posters around town. Yeah. My wife made those while she was homeschooling the kids on how to use, Adobe Creative Suite. Find opportunities to brag about your spouse. Verse 30 is, I think, the key here. A woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Her relationship with God impacts everything she does. What does your relationship with God impact? You know, you don't have to be married. You don't have to be a Proverbs 31 wife, be a husband, can be a teenager, a widow or widower. What does your relationship with God impact? This woman feared the Lord. She recognized that God was God, and she was not. She recognized that God was awesome, that he was the creator, that he was the sovereign, all-powerful, all-knowing God. And it had an impact Does your spouse see Jesus in your life? Do your kids see Jesus in your life? Your family, brothers, sisters. For some of us, our parents, you know, we were brought up in unsaved homes, and a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. You know, now what if the husband isn't bragging on her? Well, Peter gave us the answer there. You know, even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. You know, wives likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, 1 Peter 3:1, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won. A woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this challenge. And Lord, I pray that everyone here, married, single, male, female, young, old, there's something here that we can go to you and we can say, I desire this in my life. I want to be more like Jesus. Not just like this Proverbs 31 woman. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be willing. I want to be perceptive. I want to be discerning. I want to have people see that you have influenced my life and that I worship you, for you are worthy. Lord, I pray that as each one of us takes your word home, we think that you would give us a verse that will impact our lives this week. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can gather together and encourage one another. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus, amen.